Dear Abbas, a narrative of love composed for you.
Sorry, ma'am. You left this behind.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
These are the letters of Saeed Khojastafa, Abbas's friend and colleague. They've arrived here for Layli. His wife mailed them to me from America. They're interesting. They're about Abbas, about the war, the revolution. Why didn't you read them?
You were talking about Layli. About your meetings.
The third time I invited her to my home, I had really started to trust her, you know. She looked at Abbas's pictures and the mementos on the wall with a strange interest and passion and conviction, as if she knew something. Please, have a seat.
Sure. Thank you very much.
You know, it's been about 2 years that I haven't talked to anyone about Abbas Sunny's life.
Why not?
Because I don't think it's possible to describe the story about Abbas's life in a 2-hour interview. Then it just becomes like the story of many other people's lives. That's why I promised myself and Abbas I wouldn't give any more interviews about him. Unless he himself sent someone to me.
You mean to say that Abbas Babi sent me here?
You said you had several books published.
Yes.
Can I possibly read them?
Well, next time I come, I promise to bring them for you.
Thanks so much. Do that for sure, will you?
Yes, of course.
Can we start now?
Yes. If you'll just give me a minute. Very well. It's ready. Go ahead, please.
Abbas was my dear cousin. Both of us grew up in the same neighborhood, in Qazvin. It was only 5 minutes from our house to their house. Abbas came over to our house a lot. I remember I had a newborn sister who would only sleep peacefully in Abbas's arms. Even when I was a child, I knew that he was different from all the other people around him. He did things his own unique way. He never pretended. He always needed a notebook and pencil because he insisted on giving his away to others. He'd climb the school wall to clean up the yard. He had a good relationship with the elderly. You'd see a 10, 12-year-old schoolboy talking for hours with a 70-year-old man. You know, it's so true. Abbas was a good kid any way you looked at it.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Karan. I'm Haji Yan.
Hello, Doctor. Has something happened to Layli?
No, nothing's happened. I just wanted to know if you could come to the hospital tomorrow.
I wanted to tell you that the research from the world's top university shows that talking about certain subject matters can help a person in a coma to recover faster. It means that it helps the body's internal systems to function far better. Well, this is something that science has shown. But with regards to your wife, I think that she has something that's been left undone. And I think the trip she was on had something to do with it.
I don't really know much about the trip, but Layli was doing research about the life of a war hero.
So you know. Yes, it's about Abbas Babaye, Miss Hekmat's spouse.
What's the relation between these things?
Apparently Layli was more involved in this project than a typical research project requires. When you or Miss Hekmat talk about Abbas Babaye, or she hears things that are related to him, I sense that it improves her conscious level. As a doctor, it was my duty to tell you these things. I would suggest that you talk about him more often. Maybe if a person who Layli likes continues with this research project, it might have a positive effect on her recovery.
How's Layli doing?
There's been no change.
Any news about Farrokh?
No.
Look, I've been asking around and I found out how Farrokh became acquainted with Abbas Baybayi.
How?
Farrokh was born in one of the villages around Isfahan, a village called Ziyar. They also call it Abbas Abad. Hello, Masud? You there?
Yes, go ahead.
It seems you've forgotten about him.
When Farrokh wasn't in Iran at the time, there's no reason for me to be after him. I just want to know where Layli was going the day I returned. The day I returned to Iran.
Anyway, I think...
Arash, I'll call you back.
What's happened?
Mashkasem.
Hello there, Masood. When did you get here? I saw there was no car in the parking and got concerned. Well, welcome back, young man. How are you?
Don't you have a key that you're climbing the wall?
The Realtor has the key. I don't. And I'm not talking to Mr. Karami.
Well, he must have forgotten.
That's it? It's been 6 months that I've had to climb this wall. If the police had caught me, or God forbid if I fell and broke my arm and leg, who would have explained it to my wife and child?
Well, thank God nothing's happened then.
Well, yeah, thank God. Did you even think about these plants? Did you think about me? Everything I did went up in smoke.
We're selling this place, Mashti. These plants don't matter anymore.
They didn't matter to you because you didn't raise them like they were your own children. Very well, then. You do what you came here for. When I'm done, I'll just close the door and be on my way.
Discussions and arguments with my father about my marrying Masood, I packed up my stuff and moved into Masood's office. Today is exactly 1 week that I've been living here. My dear mother, since you understand me, you have to explain to father. Look, if I've come here to live in Masood's office, it's only so I'll have some peace. It's for my work. I'm not sulking. Mother, I'm not a child anymore. Look. No. The problem is, I've accepted a project and I've got to finish it on time, whether I leave Iran or stay. Yes. What are you worried about? When the time comes, I'll tell you. Don't worry. Sure. Be so stubborn. Yes. Goodbye.
Huh.
Oh, well. Hello, Mrs. Hickmott.
Hello. Can we see each other today?
But I thought that you said that you were busy today.
I am busy, but I have to see you.
You're not upset with me, are you?
Am I supposed to be?
Very well. Should I come to your house?
No, it's better to come to my office.
Yes. Just give me a second. Sorry, forgive me. Today... I'm so sorry about this. Okay, let me just have a look. Is 12 o'clock okay?
That's great. I'll be waiting.
Yes, of course.
Don't be late.
Sure.
I read your books.
How were they?
It was very strange for me that you were able to publish them, you know.
Don't worry. My latest book is having trouble getting published.
The last time I saw you, you said the main reason you were doing research about Abbas is because he had an open mind. Am I right?
And fearless. When he thought something was right, he'd say it with absolutely no fear.
But Abbas felt God existed in every second of his life. God doesn't exist in your writings at all.
It seems you're looking for an excuse not to cooperate with me.
I don't want to be unfair, you know. Your viewpoint is humanitarian. But there's a big difference between your viewpoint and Abbas's, which was joined with God, as you know.
The presence of God shouldn't be forced, like many of the things we see and read.
God must be linked to the core of a person's life for his influence to be seen. But in your writings, God's presence can't be felt at all. And that will prevent you from being able to acquaint your readers with Abbas the way he really was.
I think you're judging too quickly.
But it's a judgment based on reality. Miss Kusha, please bring some tea. Thank you. We'll have to do this together.
What does that mean?
Let's sit. Your research will have to be done under my supervision, understood? You'll have to change any portion of your writing I don't agree with.
You think that you own Abbas, don't you?
I'm Abbas's inheritor.
I think that all the people are Abbas's inheritors, since he gave his life for his country and its people.
Either way, you'll have to gain my confidence.
I don't have to, but since I have absolute respect and value for my own work, I'm more than willing to send you the final text for your review.
What if I don't approve of it?
Let's see. We'll talk about it then, okay?
Hello.
Have some.
Oh, thanks a lot, son.
Enjoy it. Mash Kasim, how are you climbing down the wall exactly?
Come on, with a body like this.
Drink up. It's nice and cold.
Sorry, sir. You can't bring flowers into the ICU.
I can't.
Yes, it's an allergenic. Thank you.
Flowers for you today. Outside the ICU, they told me flowers are forbidden and took them from me. However, I've also worn this blue t-shirt that you bought for me. It really suits me. These past few days, I've really been digging into your videos and notes. I've always thought you were a little nuts. But when I was reading what you were writing, I realized you were really nuts, Lily. Anyone else in your place, after that incident where you almost died, would never even talk about flying again, ever. Last night I sat down and edited some of your writings. I know I'm not an expert. You'll have to finalize it yourself. I think day by day, page by page, your writing keeps getting better and better. I think you need to start thinking about writing novels. I read about Abba's marriage proposals, his stubbornness, his... the time that Ishmael, Abba's father, is making kebabs in the backyard. And love-struck, heartbroken, lonely F-5 fighter jet flying Abbas is fixing his motorcycle in the yard. You really wrote that part well. Very well. So, so well. So well. I really craved kebabs. And also craved... And I also craved marriage.
Dead that you went there all by yourself to ask for her hand in marriage.
Don't say that, Father. God forbid. But I swear I had a reason for what I did.
Had a reason? Oh, man. You think you've gone to America for 2 years and have become an expert, is that right?
I'd never think that, Father. Who am I? I went there to say things that can't be said in an official setting. I spoke my heart. If I went with you and Mother, what would have happened? We would have sat there and said the same things we did 2 years ago, then got up and left. Then for me, it would be the same story all over again. And I didn't want anything to happen that, God forbid, would cause you and Mother to get upset, you know?
Very well. Now that you went there, and as you say, spoke your heart, are things better now? Well, are they?
Even if it's not better, at least it's not worse. At least I'm not ashamed and don't have any regrets. I'll do anything you say, Father.
All right, go. Come on. God keep you, my son.
Well, it's Saeed. Hello. Come on in.
What's going on?
My dad's making kebabs. Let's go. You're right on time. You got great luck.
No, I've got to go. Is it good news or bad?
I'll tell you later. How about you? What's up?
I called the base and got our tour of duty.
Hope it's for the best. Where are we going?
I'm at Mehrabad. You're at Dezvul. We have to go to Tehran in 2 days to get our orders. Guess we weren't meant to be together.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Let's go to Tehran and see what happens over there. Maybe I'll come to Dezvul too.
No way, man. Why should you come?
Goodbye. By the way, I saw your uncle, Mr. Hekmat.
Uh-huh. So what happened?
Nothing. He asked and I told him where you were assigned. Goodbye.
Okay.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you? You look upset.
No, I'm fine.
Where's your mother?
Mom went to Auntie's house.
She called me today and said that Abbas had come over.
And she told him off.
Don't be too upset about what she said. I'm sure she wants what's best for you. Abbas's tour of duty has been determined.
Where to?
Desful. I just wanted to tell you to think really carefully. And don't decide just on your emotions. I don't want you to...
Sorry, Father. Can we talk about this later, if you don't mind?
Of course.
Well, that's the 2. 4 and 7 is 11. Carry the 1. And 4 is 5. And 5 and 3 is 8. And that's a 1. So it's 1, 8, 12 then.
Ma'am, permission?
What is it?
Your answer is wrong. I did it twice and it's 1,862.
Good job. I wanted to see which one of you was paying attention. Nine, eight, three, four. Yes. Good job, my darling. So that's enough for today. You can put away your books and go home now.
Yeah, bye, dear.
Bye. Hey, I got that answer right.
Hey, do you want to come round to my house? Bye.
Did you get the answer right?
Bye.
Yes, I'm not sure why Mom made a mistake.
Thank you, ma'am.
Goodbye, ma'am.
Ma'am, permission?
What is it?
Goodbye.
Goodbye, my sweetheart.
Hello, Abbas. As I'm writing this letter, I'm having second thoughts. Before you went to America, I'd made my decision and you knew what my answer was, but now I'm having doubts. Abbas, the 2 years you were getting pilot training in America, I, of course, not as much as you, had some hardships too. 2 years apart from family for a girl is very hard. I'm sure you haven't forgotten the times you'd take me to school and the things we'd say to each other on the way there. But you wanted to become a doctor, and I always had a love for teaching which completely consumed me. My only doubt is this one thing. Bas, I don't know what to do. Going with you to Desful would completely destroy all my lifelong dreams, and I don't know what to do.
Hello, who is it?
Hello, Father.
Hello, my darling. How are you? Where are you?
Fine, thanks. I'm calling from a public phone. When will you be done?
I'll be finished, I think, in about half an hour. How come?
I want to talk to you.
Well, talk to me.
I can't do it on the phone, Father.
Very well, let me get home, then we'll talk.
I want to meet you somewhere outside. Is the Imam of the Day okay?
Fine, my girl.
Then I'll see you. Goodbye.
If you give your permission, I would like to say yes to Abbas.
I always wanted you to grow up independent. For you to decide about your own life. And now you're making the biggest decision of your life. Whatever you decide, I'll respect. But you have to understand me too. My position as your father.
All fathers have anxieties when their daughters are going to get married.
But living a life with someone like Abbas, who has a very demanding profession, is very different. Look, my daughter. I believe that I understand your feelings for Abbas perfectly well. And I also know he's a very fine young man. You two certainly deserve each other. But living together is different. Marriage isn't only for one or two days. There are some things you can ignore in the beginning. But as time goes by, these things start to rear their head.
If you mean my work, I'm willing to set it aside for a few years just to settle into my married life.
That's not what I'm talking about. You've never experienced hardship in your life. You've always had everything you needed. Now you're going to marry someone who, because of his profession, has to keep moving from place to place. Right now, he's packing his things up to go to Desful. Can you imagine the stresses this puts on a relationship? Can you live the way he does, like a nomad? Congratulations.